Greetings, salutations. It's Friday, April the 8th, 2011. The radio program is on the air. We're coast to coast on the Fan Radio Network, Sirius Channel 97, and Rogers Sportsnet. Bob McCown, Stephen Brunt, Damian Cox, and Ian Leggett, former PGA Tour player, on the roundtable here in Big Smoke. Hello to all of you just joining us. Brunt has a topic.
Oh, I don't have a topic. Do you want to start
with
my topic?
This is a bad topic.
Do you want to start with this
topic? We need a good topic.
Do you want to start with this, or should we go back to Manny? Because that's the big story of the day.
For those of you joining us on the network, here's a story on Manny. We'll do as much on Manny as we can, and maybe we'll slide in this other topic that I don't think is going to consume more than about 8 seconds.
Oh, I'm thinking it's the final weekend of the NHL season. We may want to touch on hockey at some point.
Why didn't you say that?
I just did.
Well, and, you know, actually, he didn't give you the option is what it was.
Our pal Gene Melnick, who was on here, I see to the chagrin of the guys in Ottawa. Apparently he does not do radio interviews in Ottawa. He just
see, you're it. Saying the Manny story is the big story. I think this Brian Murray story
is
a pretty
say,
big story.
But he came on here this week and spoke glowingly about Brian Murray. And then when we asked him, I said, well, that sounds like you're rehiring Brian Murray. He said, I'm not saying that. But then he brought back Brian Murray. So, I think that since it started here this week, we should maybe talk
Pick
about that.
Pick a topic, McCown. How about you're that running one? The show for now.
Or do you want to? It's your show, Bob.
Oh, how nice of you to recognize that.
Why don't we let Leggett pick what he wants
to talk
ahead.
About? Yeah, go ahead. We should do one of those wheels we spin.
No,
don't pick anything I want.
No, don't let Leggett pick it.
I don't get a pick?
No, you don't get a pick. You don't,
skateboarding.
You got to come more than once a year to get us a pick. All right, well, let's talk about the Eugene Melnick thing. And then we'll talk about the playoffs. And later we'll talk about Manny.
Okay.
Sounds right.
And then we'll also talk about the CFL thing.
Okay.
But the CFL thing's just really a short story.
I got with a big setup.
Right.
Big setup, short story.
Gotta explain it first, yeah.
Hope it has a finish. Oh, now I've forgotten where we're starting with. Oh, yeah, hockey. So Eugene Melnick, owner of the Ottawa Senators, comes on this program earlier
this week.
Yes, and says, among other things, haven't decided what to do with Corey Kluston, the coach, or with the general manager, but does suggest
that he really loves Brian Murray and everything he's done this year.
And he's impressed with how Brian Murray... He said at one point during the year, he figured, okay, this is a 3 or 4 year rebuilding thing. And now he thinks the rebuilding is basically done already. So
it's the quickest rebuilding in the history of sport.
Yeah. Apparently, yes.
So now they're going to be the co-favorites for the Stanley Cup for next year.
So all the people in Ottawa who mocked Toronto and Brian Burke for this quick, fast rebuild on the fly thing are now doing the same thing, except faster.
It would appear so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then, of course, our friends at the Ottawa Citizen, somebody wrote a big, long column there about...
Wayne Scanlon, I think.
Yes, I think it was.
Because he won't talk to them in the same way. He just talks to you.
I don't know why.
He likes you.
I guess he does.
I don't know why.
Me neither. So, saying that he won't talk to them, so he talks to us, and here's more or less what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's decided to rehire the general manager.
Yes. Which I assume means, among other things, well, it's kind of the palace intrigue thing, sort of like the Calgary stuff that's been going on.
Right.
We should talk about that, too, because Ken King was on yesterday in my absence. But I assume this means that Corey Kluston is toast and that Cyril Leader
is neutered?
Something along that. Yes, that's one way of putting it, yes.
Because behind all this, they believe in Ottawa. There's been a lot of palace intrigue going on. They've done a lot of contradictory things in the last little while, which led people to believe that Cyril Leader, the president of the team, and Brian Murray weren't seeing eye to eye. Well, clearly now, Murray, who has survived before, you'll remember, he survived and John Muckler went packing.
Yes,
well, now now Murray has survived, and it appears now it'll be up to him in terms of what they're going to do. And I would think he's not going to sit around. He's going to make it quick and get back to the playoffs. That's the idea.
You agree?
Well, much of it, and I think you have pointed out this, Domo, in print, but much of it depends on the goaltender they just committed their lives to, doesn't it?
Yes. Erratic goaltender they just committed
the next 4 years to. They've got there's some really interesting questions in Ottawa with, I assume they'll try and trade Spezza again, and I assume they probably won't be able to get rid of that contract. They have no idea what's going to happen with Daniel Alfredsson, but presumably if he wants to play, he will be. The only place he will play is in Ottawa. Again, no one else is going to take his
contract. Wait a second. Spets has been playing very well the last while.
Eh. Only if you... first of all, they're the second worst team in the conference?
Yes.
Yeah.
Spets? No. Oh, I like him as a person. He's a very nice guy.
Overrated as a player?
I don't know. I never rated him that high.
Oh, really?
I mean, you know, I mean, but I think he's it's a big contract, and that always skews things. And he's a turnover machine. He's a skillful guy, but he's never changed his ways. A lot of teams won't touch him.
Hmm. Do you concur, though, that Ottawa would be trying to get rid of him?
Well, they tried last summer, so I assume they'll try again. That's $7 million hit for the next 4 years.
Yes. Yeah. So there's not going to be a lineup. You know, so the kind of rebuild you're talking about is, you know, it's a rebuild with Spezza and probably with Alfredson again if he can play.
Yeah. I mean, and you've got like
a lot of dough.
The team here in Toronto, desperate for a number one center.
Yes, they are.
And Spezza's not only a number one center, he's also he's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't touch him. They will not touch him.
For sure. You have this on first-hand authority?
I have it on pretty good authority.
And they could free up that space, too.
Well, it's pretty good authority. Some blogger? Like, I mean...
There's the blogger, and then just below that, there's you.
Yeah. Well, I didn't tell you.
No, you
didn't. So it must have been the blogger.
No, I mean, hey, anything could happen. But I'll tell you, nobody will give up anything to get him.
Mm-hmm. Well, no,
somebody might take a flyer at some point.
As long as they got some leeway, you know. You'd have to have a fair bit of leeway in order to do that, cap-wise.
Okay, so is there anything else we want to talk about on the Ottawa story?
Well, no, we can move on.
We want to move on to the playoffs.
Well,
I think he's right. I think Klussen's going to get fired.
He's going to get fired.
And the big deal for Brian Murray is he's a pretty good coach, but he's never found anybody who he thinks can coach as well as he can coach.
So does he put himself back behind the bench?
I don't think he's going to do that. He's 69 years old. Yeah. I don't think he's going to do that.
No, and it's always a good idea to put.
And the big story here, the other story behind here, is that there's a belief in Ottawa that it's his nephew Tim Murray that he would like to be his successor there, and this may set that up, which will enrage certain people.
Well, that's sort of like North Korea or something, then, isn't it? Like kind of family dynasties you set up. I don't know if that's that good thing in hockey. Although Scotty Bowman's kid's doing all right.
Yeah. Yeah, they may even make the playoffs.
Well, he did all right last year.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Well,
this year, not so much.
Well, he had some issues to deal with there.
Well,
Now, Ken King came on here yesterday and said he did not want to be the general manager, correct?
Well, whose story was that?
Well, it's been, I can tell you that it's been, it has been floated around Calgary.
I know. Anybody in particular floating this?
I think there's someone trying to stir the pot out there.
I think there is.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we had Ken on.
And he clarified, correct?
It says
he does not want to be the GM.
No, under no circumstances. He's not a candidate. Would not put his name forward.
Well,
no.
And the Calgarys have huge problems. Huge problems. They didn't have a first-round pick last year. They are capped out. They have 10 unmovable contracts. Now, because they got close enough to the playoffs, they'll end up picking 14th or 15th. So, again, they don't get a top pick. They've got significant issues. I think the only way you can get that thing rolling is to trade Jerome McGinley, and they don't want to do that.
You almost have no choice, though.
It's the thing to do. They're in exactly the same situation the Leafs were 4 years ago with Matt Sundin. And you can say, I don't want to do it. We want him to retire a Flame. He's still good. But if you don't, you never clear up the space to get the thing started in the right direction.
The problem isn't whether they want to or whether they should trade Jerome McGinley. The problem is, they don't have any other options. The only other option they have, as it occurs to me, is don't do anything. And hope like hell that something falls from the sky.
Well, I mean, the only other player they could trade for significant returns would be Jay Bouwmeester. And I'm not even sure the returns on that would be quite what they hoped they would be.
What did Bouwmeester get?
I think he's 6.5 for another 40 years or so.
Yeek,
They've got huge problems out there. So no wonder Ken King doesn't want to be the GM.
So of the Canadian teams that are about to miss the playoffs, are the Toronto Maple Leafs in the best spot going forward?
Yeah, I mean, the Edmonton Oilers would argue that they are.
Yeah, they're farther, but they would appear to be farther away, though.
Because
this year was not...
This year was as bad or worse.
So it was not the kind of the move up the curve that I think people hoped it might be.
But they have the blue chip guys and are going to get another one that the Leafs may or may not have.
Well, I mean, do you get two guys subscribe to the theory that...
Well, he can answer, too.
I think the biggest problem in Edmonton, they got all those young guys and Horkov goes down, there's no leadership.
You mean that's the big thing. I think you see something different next year when Horkoff comes back and he's actually, those guys are taking some direction.
Yeah, but the Toronto,
I think the problem was in Edmonton. I think it's only going to get better next year is they're going to have somebody out there leading.
But I mean, that's compared to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Here's the question I don't know the answer to, but it's what scares me is that the Toronto Maple Leafs did nothing this year to improve their lot or to provide any level of optimism for the future, except by accident, found a goaltender.
That's not true. All the stuff you just said, none of it's true.
You can say whatever you want.
No, they in fact traded some. You said they didn't do anything to make the future look brighter, when in fact they did trade Francois Beauchemin. Mm-hmm. They did trade Christopher Stieg.
And
they did trade Cabrelle, so they got out of that first-round picks and prospects.
Yeah, they didn't get one player that impacted positively for them.
Well, Joffrey Lupo was pretty good for them.
Oh, he's all right.
Well, he was a positive player for them.
Okay. I'll give you Joffrey Lupo.
Cool. But I don't think he'd start. But, I mean, they did do things for the future. But they still have to develop those prospects, and they still got to make good picks.
I'm not here to say that I was impressed with what the Leafs did, and maybe they are on the right track. I'm simply saying I think you can make the argument that if the Toronto Maple Leafs have Giguere and who's the other goaltender?
Gustafson.
Yeah, that's the guy. Playing the way they played,
yep.
Are you optimistic about the future of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
No.
Are you not more optimistic than automatically in the future of somebody like the Edmonton Oilers?
Maybe, except they don't have any goalies or defensemen either.
But there's my point. Take
that Edmonton rebuild is going to take a long time.
But what if they pull a goaltender out of their hat like the Toronto Maple Leafs did?
The guy played here.
They took a fourth or fifth depth chart guy in Reimer, pulled him out of a hat by accident.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, boom. Yep. If Edmonton does that same thing.
If Edmonton does that, they turn into the Carolina Hurricanes, exactly the same thing when they found Ward. That was a fluke. I mean, they went to win the Stanley Cup because of it.
Well, it wasn't a fluke. He was a first-round draft pick. They knew he was there. They just didn't know he was ready to win. I mean, he was that even that season.
Well, he
they
was
won
a fluke
cup.
Because the starting goalie went down.
No, but so they were trading back and forth all season. They were. He was playing, and the other guy was playing. The other guy was Martin Gerber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as we get ready for the playoffs.
With only two Canadian teams.
Yes, indeed.
Jeez.
Well, in the Montreal Canadiens, you have to assume, well, mind you, we assumed this last year and it didn't exactly work out that way. You have to assume they're going out in a big hurry.
No defensemen left.
No. And their goal challenge, so it's all going to be on Carey Price and he'd have to be a play out of his mind. And
well, now imagine they had a goaltender last year.
Halak played out of his
who
mind.
Who played out of his mind.
Yep.
But the chances of this happening two years in a row with two different goaltenders?
If they won a round, like I wouldn't be totally shocked if they won a round, even against Boston if they get them.
They can beat Boston.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah, I suppose. But absent that, the team that the hopes of the nation are on, I don't know, the Vancouver Canucks, who have disappointed repeatedly,
mm-hmm.
who have been touted, have been expected, and have never been able to get over the hump. Is this the year? Is there any evidence that this is the year? And if it is the year, and Brent and I had this conversation, I think, earlier this week, will one goaltender play the entire playoffs for the Vancouver Canucks?
No. Well, I mean, and I think we've had this conversation, that I really believe that Corey Schneider will play in the playoffs, and that's a strength of the Canucks going forward that they haven't had before.
They would play him in a non-crisis situation?
Or maybe in a crisis situation. Yeah. They like this guy. He's a real goalie.
No,
he's not just a backup.
But the kind of orthodoxy is, right, that you play your guy until something really
That's
terrible
right.
happens.
But see, I don't think it would have to be really terrible. I think that if Luongo's, if it's just not happening, I think they'll turn to the other guy.
I think the only way that happens is if Luongo looks like a complete sieve and gives up a half
well,
dozen
and that's happened.
Well, I know it's happened.
In previous playoffs.
Okay, so Luongo plays the first two games. The second game, he gets whacked. They bring Schneider in. Schneider plays half decent. Do you go back to Luongo? Who's your number one goalie? Or do you just run Schneider until?
No. I mean, I think Luongo's
that's the
guy,
dilemma.
But they had to live and die with Luongo before. It didn't matter how many goals he let in. They had to leave him in
that's
there.
That's right.
Now they have an option.
I just think if you bring your second guy in, when you've got Roberto Luongo, You're opening yourself up to so much criticism. I don't think you can do that.
I don't think so, Bob, because Schneider played a lot this year and gained a lot of confidence in Vancouver, and he's a popular player there. He's seen as a – now, he may not last beyond this year if they decide to move one of their goalies. But I don't think that people would see it as ridiculous if he went in there. I think they've seen Luongo's act 2 years in a row, and if he's not willing to do it, I think they could stick the other guy in there and get support for it.
You may be right. I think historically, it's just really unlikely. Anyway, Manny Ramirez announces his retirement. It wasn't exactly his idea, if you know what I mean. If you don't, we'll explain when we come back and Primetime continues on the Fan Radio Network, Sirius 97, and Rogers Sportsnet. This is the most confusing program I think I've ever done.
No, that's not true. You've done many confusing programs.
Well, I try and be, you know, Switzerland here and let the idiots around the table decide, you know, what topic we're going to address. And I try not to be dictatorial. And in every commercial break, it changes. First, Brunt and Cox were complaining, bitching, and saying, like, "Oh, all you guys are going to do is talk golf all day long."
Actually, we didn't complain. We just said, "If you are, we're just going to sit here."
Well, no, we'll just sit here quietly and obediently. We didn't cause trouble.
So he read the score. He read the leaderboard.
I did. I read the leaderboard.
Well, and then Brunt, during the last commercial break, says, "Let's get Lego to tell us who's an a-hole and who's not on the PGA
right.
Tour."
That was inspired by the fact that a famous golfer was on television, and he said, "That guy is a jerk," sort of, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And I thought that was intriguing.
And then Tom Watson came up, and there seemed to be a difference of opinion
yes,
on Tom Watson.
So I think we do the whole
golf spitting or something. I don't know what it was.
And then I commented on the adorable little outfits they're all wearing with their white belts.
Adorable.
They are. There's some nice pastels.
Well, some of them aren't very manly.
There is an important golf tournament going on this week, just in case non-golfers don't even know.
Well, let's go through the leaderboard and say who's a jerk and who's not a jerk. That'd be great. Be the best Masters coverage ever.
Hey, there's only really one person in the room here and get in trouble for his opinion on this.
That's
you know?
True.
That's exactly
that's right.
Correct.
Okay, where should we start?
You have identified that.
And that's
so
McCowan.
What? No way. I only got one guy I don't like.
You already mentioned it.
Yeah, I had a run.
Other than me, of course.
No, I like Lego. I had a run-in with Tom Watson a number of years ago, and I found him to be just a complete moron.
What did you have a run-in with him?
Oh, it's a long story.
How could you have a run-in with Tom Watson?
Do you remember when they used to have the CPGA They used to have the CPGA championship at in Canada, and they used to invite two or three tour players. Remember those days?
They had a great field.
You remember the National? They had it at the National, and Lee Trevino and Tom Watson were, I don't know who else,
were invited. Yeah, there was a few other guys played, yeah.
Anyway, that was there. And I said something on the air. I was told something about Tom Watson, who was playing with George Knutson that day.
Uh-huh.
He was paired with George Knutson. And I was told that Watson did something on the golf course, which I'm not going to repeat here.
What kind of a thing? Like a golf thing unrelated to golf?
A golf etiquette thing. And it wasn't even that big a thing.
Like what kind of a big thing?
His belt didn't match his shoes. I think that was it.
If you said it on the air, I don't see why you can't repeat it now.
Yeah, because he's far away.
Yeah, I guess so. So, I just didn't want to make the story
long. What was the thing?
Did he wear shoes without tassels? What?
Did he wear a white belt without white shoes?
It's a par 5 dogleg left at the National. 13? 12.
12.
So Knutson and Watson are playing, and George hits his ball someplace, and apparently they get into some kind of a fight about the ruling.
Okay.
And did he whack it like a croquet ball?
But Watson, apparently, it got quite animated.
Okay.
And I think Watson was using four-letter words.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You've told me this story, and he claims he never swears.
Well, and claims that he says that the version that I was that's not what happened.
Okay.
Now, I was told by Knutson's caddy.
Well.
That's a good source.
Wow, there you go.
Caddies never lie.
Well, who went on to become a very reputable member of the golf media.
And that would be
you can
Stephen
put two
Brunt?
And two
no,
together.
That's not
no, that would, I'm not, no.
In any event.
Reputable. You are reputable.
I'm not there. He tells me the story. I relay the story on air. Watson apparently is being driven back to his hotel at this time while I'm on the air. Hears this, comes back the next day, and comes up to me and wants to fight.
Well, why does that make him a jerk if you think
Now, that would have been a better story than when you're telling right now.
If the fight had happened? Yeah. Felt like
so
you
instead we just yelled at each other.
Now, Ian, does that
you
sound like
him
the
go
Tom
Happy
Watson?
Gilmore and Bob Barker right there on the fifth
one? I got to ask you, Ian, does that sound like the Tom Watson you know?
Absolutely not.
There you go.
Well, no, I'm telling you.
But that was a long time ago. And you know what, honestly, I mean, I don't really know. I like Tom. I think he's a nice guy. He's
has he ever sworn in your presence?
Not that I remember.
There you go.
Has he ever cheated?
No.
Well,
maybe he just doesn't like media guys.
I think we'll just leave it to people to make up their own minds as to who's telling the truth here.
He was madder than hell. And see, you know, and I was a friend of George's.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at the time, was a friend of his caddies, too. So, I mean, maybe he sensed that I had taken sides in the issue.
You know what?
So unlikely.
Which is so hard. It's hard to believe that I would do that.
You got to be careful in those golf fights, too.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yep. You got to be careful.
They
don't know where spikes anymore, so you're safe there.
Well, the other thing too is Watson, the wimp, maybe he came from the putting green, but he had his putter in his hand at the time. So it occurred to me, you know, this could get really nasty.
It's like street gang stuff.
Yeah,
you might just get bludgeoned right there on the putting green.
With a putter, though.
All right, so who else is a jerk?
I think you'd use a
besides Watson.
I would think something that could.
Now you like him.
I do. I like him. Yeah. I mean, he's actually one of my sort of heroes growing up.
So. Least favorite guys.
Least favorite.
Yeah, we
want to
know who you don't
tour.
Like.
Yeah.
No, you don't ask me personally. I'm going to tell you by consensus.
Okay.
Oh, consensus guys. Tiger. Yeah.
No, absolutely not. Well liked. Guys on. Everybody likes him.
Really?
I mean, guys would. I've never heard anybody say, get off the golf course and go, you know, got it.
Phil.
That's Tiger, right? Tiger.
Phil.
Tiger was the
not
man
well
who
liked.
Loved too much.
Not well liked.
Okay, hang on.
No.
Phony baloney, right?
Okay, we just slag Phil.
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay, what's the big thing? If it's not phony baloney, what is it about Phil they don't like?
He just doesn't interact with players in the locker room. It's all about Phil. That's, you know. But, I mean, hey, that's it. I mean, hey, guys like that, it's a matter of how you play your best, right? And here's the lopsided deal behind the whole thing. Vijay Singh is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
On the golf course, as a player, he'll interact with you, but I see the way he interacts with fans while a tournament's going on. Blocks them out, almost ignores them like they're not even there.
Just does
that. People ask for autographs when he's walking by, and he just walks straight by them and totally ignores them.
Really?
One of the nicest guys you ever met. Practice rounds, pro-am days, got tons of time for people. On the golf course, blocks it all out. So he comes across, if you're out there Thursday to Sunday, as a jerk.
Yeah, but that's fair. Don't you think that's fair? Like, if you give the fans your time on Tuesday and Wednesday... That's all you should have to do.
Yeah, but Phil does the he'll spend 2 hours, an hour after his round of golf, signing autographs and doing that, interacting
is that phony?
With the
do you
fans.
You think that's phony?
I don't think that is phony. No, I mean you just don't do that week in and week out. And you know,
how does a guy give so much back to the fans and have that? You know that
he doesn't interact with the players,
and then goes into the locker room and.
Yeah, shuts it off.
Yeah, okay. I'm Phil Mickelson.
Throw some more names
Screw
out there.
Screw you.
I need rooting interest, or anti-rooting
wow.
interest. Come on, let's go.
Sergio. Do you spend much time with Sergio?
Yeah.
And? Don't go too far away from the mic.
He's okay. He's
just okay.
Just okay.
Brunton wants to
know. He can be grumpy. He can be grumpy when things are not going well.
Yeah.
You know, hey, but that's part of the...
Who swears the most? That's somebody I could root for. Somebody
Tiger.
Could really. Tiger. Well...
There's no doubt about it. And to say, hey, that's documented. I mean,
Tiger's caddy. Hated.
By most.
Because?
Arrogant.
Same. He doesn't interact with other players, other caddies. He does his own thing.
I would think a caddy could interact with anybody. You're not really having
most
to concentrate.
Caddies are. Most caddies are great.
Yeah.
They live for that interaction. That's why they're caddies.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, I'll tell you a guy that I've heard mixed reviews on.
Yeah.
Freddie Couples.
Freddie?
Like, there are days when Freddie can be the nicest guy in the world, and there are days where you don't even want to be in the same room with him.
I've never seen that.
The latter?
Yeah.
Oh, so you've only seen
I've had nothing but
great
things to say about Freddie.
Okay.
Yeah. And people love the guy.
Oh, I love the
rightfully
guy.
Rightfully so.
I have no negatives on Freddie. Yeah. On Freddie. But I've heard, I was told that there
I've
depends on the
from
day.
A player, there's no way you've ever heard that from a player.
Yeah, I actually did hear it from a player, and it came after one of the Skins games in Canada, where he said Freddie was miserable and not into it.
Yeah.
I think he hated the golf course, though. So
maybe his back was bothering him and just didn't want to
be there.
Well,
there could be that,
too. That could happen. A Skins game? Are you serious?
Yeah, seriously.
Wow. Get over it.
Well, but a skins game is where, I mean, if there's ever a time where it's easy to have fun and not take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
But apparently he was complaining about everything.
Yeah.
The golf course was too crappy. The tees were this. The course was a bad shape. This. He complained all day. Complain. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so maybe just had a bad day.
Bad day.
You've had one or two of those.
I've had a couple. 100.
Who else? Who else do we want to know about?
Well, I'm all ears here.
Wow.
How about that Curtis Strange guy that was on
TV?
About
the,
oh, you hate Curtis
How about
Strange,
Curtis Strange right? there? He was just on TV opining.
He's a good-looking guy, isn't he?
Well, there's the definitive answer on Curtis Strange. Let me rephrase what Lego just said about Curtis Strange.
Well, it's on tape. Did you tape it? It's tape.
Jerk.
Let's play that back.
No.
He seems so nice, though.
He seemed very nice on TV.
Articulate.
Mm-hmm. Well-dressed.
Loves the game.
Tidy.
Very tidy.
Okay.
Good outfit.
So, you walk up to the first tee. For some reason, you know your time, but you don't know your pairing, which would never happen. But theoretically,
mm-hmm.
who is it that you – give me the three guys you don't want to play with so badly, you're considering feigning an injury and pulling out from the tournament rather than spending the next 2 days with these three guys.
Is that including Angus Glenn with you and
– Yes.
The blonde-haired
– No. No, that we that's a given.
Okay. On tour,
yep.
I'm a fast player, so I don't like to play with slow players. So
okay, so that would
walking
include...
to the tee with Ben Crane and Bernhard Langer would be
all
a
torture.
Disaster. Yeah, that's getting finished in the dark right there. Yeah, and that's a morning tee time.
Oh, Bernhard Langer is an oil painting. On the golf course.
But it genuinely not both nice guys. I mean, I'm not talking about going out there
but
not
slow,
just brutally.
Okay, who else?
So,
I mean, who's...
Let's go back to the bad guys part, though. That's way more interesting than the pace of play.
Yeah, not interested in slow play.
Okay, no, that sure. doesn't.
I mean, just guys that are not fun to play with.
Yeah.
Rory Sabatini is a tough guy to play with.
Well, yeah, I've heard he's...
He's a tough guy to play with. There's no doubt about
because
it.
Because why?
Jerk.
He's in his own world. He's a complainer. Too much dialogue about every shot he hits. Guys don't want to hear that. When you're out there playing and he's commenting on this and that and just... You know, when other guys come, hey, if you get in and get it over with, throw your club and get on with your business.
But
guys that drag it on and drag it on, he's one of those guys.
Okay.
So, outside of that, I mean, I don't really know. I at least if you're having fun, it's good. Davis Love's a tough guy to play with.
Really?
I
Why?
I do not like playing with him. He doesn't talk to you.
He looks kind of miserable out there, I got to say.
He's just not a fun guy.
No, he does. You ever seen him? He looks cranky. Just looks like he's upset about something or he smelled something bad or something, right?
So.
Yeah.
But what you see inside the ropes is a lot different than you're probably watching on TV a lot of times.
Well,
so
of course.
There's no doubt about that. So it's, but honestly, 98.5% of the guys on tour are great.
Oh, we don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
No. That's disappointing.
What about the media?
Poulter.
Any jerks out there?
Wait a second. Poulter had a reputation early on as being a real egomaniac.
And it's still there.
Still there. So there'd be another guy.
Well, the numbers are mounting here.
Yeah.
Yes.
You see, all you got to do is come up with mm-hmm. a few names here. And
still the same.
See, so there are guys out there that people don't like.
Yeah. Well, he's a professional athlete. You got to have an ego. He just carries
Yeah, but don't
it.
You think he went over the top when he had no cred and said, I'm going to kick Tiger's ass and be the number one player in the world.
Didn't mm-hmm. Stephen Ames speak
Stephen
out
Ames
about
did the same
Tiger?
Thing yeah. at the match play.
What's Ames like?
I like him. Got a very different sense of humor. Can come across as arrogant, rude. I mean, I get along great with him because we banter back and forth with each other. But hey, the media knows it as well as anybody. He says things that just aren't appropriate at times. And he's paid for it a couple times too. But that's Steven. He just brushes it off and carries on. So, you know, at the match play, he said, it was a comment. He said something along the lines like he had to play Tiger in the second round. He says, I don't know how anybody can play the game or something along that drives the golf ball like that all over the place. How can someone do that? Well, Tiger went out and whipped him 8-7 or something like that. Anyway.
Yeah. Anybody else? You don't even know anybody else.
You got to turn that off and actually come up with something original.
I've exhausted all my golf names.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take the break. We'll come back and actually, we keep promoting. We're going to talk about Manny, and we never get around to it.
We'll do that now.
Thank you. The Bullets, including Manny, are next, which might be the same thing. Primetime on the Fan Radio Network, Sirius 97 and Sportsnet. All right, time for the bullets. Little things that could become big things, but rarely do. This was a lead story that got turned into a bullet because Brent kept procrastinating on doing the story.
Not true.
Here is the news of the day so far. Tampa Bay Rays designated hitter Manny Ramirez is retiring. Major League Baseball announced his retirement today, saying that MLB recently notified Manny of an issue under Major League Baseball's Joint Drug Prevention and Treatment Program. Rather than continue with the process under the program, Ramirez has informed MLB he is retiring as an active player. To wit, Manny got caught doing something,
yes,
tested positive. It's his second positive test, which means a mandatory 100-game suspension, which would be, well, not the whole season, but a good chunk of the year. So Manny said, out of hell with it, right?
I guess, yeah. I guess what we don't know is whether it was performance-enhancing drugs or some kind of a recreational drug.
Do we remember what it was the first time?
It was, didn't he get caught for, it was a performance-enhancing drug, but I'm
definitely
trying to remember what it was. Yeah,
definitely.
You know, and again, given the fact that he had an injury-plagued, difficult season last year, the notion that he might have done something desperate to try and get himself back in gear, you know, he's, one team wanted to sign him, he was the only team that wanted him. You would say that a guy's got to be really stupid to get caught twice in a row, and that's true. But that there's some logic to that, that maybe is what happened here. And, you know, he had struggled in those early days with Tampa. And if it's the end of his career, it's an unfortunate end for a guy who had a great career statistically and was, you know, one of the great power hitters of the modern times.
Well, it is the end of his career because, I mean, you know, what are the chances he makes he announces his comeback? I mean, because if he announces his comeback, he's going to start that comeback with 100.
And the main thing is there's no sign that anybody really
and
wants
there is, I mean, there is a difference with this guy. That Mark McGwire could always at least claim, say, well, it wasn't illegal when I was playing. Well, it was illegal for Manny Ramirez, and he's caught twice. He's a drug cheat.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, when you start testing, when you have rules and when you test, then that's true.
Yeah, I mean, he's Ben Johnson.
Apparently, the first go-round, Manny was caught using a female fertility drug.
Oh, he wanted to have children.
Yes.
Wow.
And it didn't work.
It didn't work.
Didn't pan out for him.
Unless he's pregnant now, and
unless
that's why
it was,
he's retiring.
Say, a masking agent, possibly?
I guess that's quite possible. Here's some news. Greg Anderson, remember him?
Yes. Barry Bonds trainer.
He used his card.
Yeah. Today, a federal judge ordered the release of Barry Bonds' personal trainer from custody. He'd been in prison since March 22nd for refusing to testify at the perjury trial. District Attorney Susan Ilston found him in contempt of court, ordered him held until the trial ended. Now the trial's over, so now they let him out.
Yes.
Now will they charge him again?
Send him back? I think it would have to be another circumstance where he was where he had to testify, and I don't know that there's going to be one of those. He's the world's most loyal friend, or something.
No kidding, can trust this guy.
Or a dummy, one of the other.
At least his bank account probably has a few more commas in it now.
I've wondered if there were any possible ramifications from him acknowledging that he gave Bonds or facilitated Bonds having drugs. In other words, wouldn't he be charged then?
No, because Bonds is only charged with perjury, right? He's not. It's not. Like
no, but if
like a dealer, you mean he's like a dealer?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be.
He's a distributor. But I mean, how? I guess my point is, what is it they want to know from Anderson? What they want to know is, did you administer or facilitate getting him drugs, either through Balco or in whatever means? If he says yes, he did. Then. They're going to have to charge him with distribution.
Unless he had immunity on that. And I'm sure just to get him to testify, they would have given him.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think they would have?
For sure.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing this to dodge a drug charge.
Item, not a big deal, but a legendary Canadian company is moving out of Canada. Sherwood Hockey Sticks, which at one point was a big deal in this country. I bet we all had a Sherwood.
I love Sherwoods. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those had a lot of whip to them.
Well, the company is not as big as it once was. It has downsized, I guess, significantly and repeatedly over the years. And now they have laid off their 40 Canadian employees. Mm. They are moving the stick manufacturing operation to China,
where an awful lot of hockey equipment is made. And I encourage Canadians to go out and seek place stuff that is made in Canada, because almost so much of it now is made overseas, And there is some manufacturers in this country that are desperately hanging on.
Were they still making wooden sticks, Sherwood?
They are.
They are? Okay.
The Sherwood Classic Solid Wood PMP 5030. Guy Lafleur once said it was the best stick in the world. That model is still being made by a subcontractor in Victoriaville, Quebec. Sherwood was founded in 1949 as Sherbrooke Woodcraft by Leopold Drolet. The company also happens to be the puck supplier for the National Hockey League. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know they made pucks. Who knew? Company that specializes in wooden sticks also makes... Wait a second. Are we sure those are rubber? we mentioned earlier Brian Murray gets a three-year extension. We've covered that.
And I think Jason Spezza is one of the last... I think he still uses a wooden stick.
There you go.
But I don't know if he uses a Sherwood.
Some speculation that Manny Malhotra may lose the sight in his eye. Apparently, he has had successful eye surgery and is now being told that there's reason for optimism.
That's
that
great
he
news.
Will be able yeah, to recover. It it's fantastic news.
Now, yeah, nice. The next fantastic news is when they say mandatory shields. That'll be the next. And
now, there's a story about Steve Yzerman suggesting that they would do it as on a team basis, that they would make their guys wear shields.
Yeah, I mean, they've tried. They can't make them.
No.
So
they can suggest strongly, I guess.
Yes.
Well, the PA would have, I mean, PA could endorse the idea. That's simple. It's
absolutely.
As simple as that.
The league wants to do this.
Yeah. But you know, Donald, when Melnick was on this week, the one he made an economic argument for the protection of players' heads,
right.
Essentially. You know, and I think, I hate to say it, but that's what's going to move the needle here. That kind
Probably.
Of stuff. Teams
Probably.
Saying we can't afford to lose guys. We have cap issues when we lose guys.
Yep.
So let's protect them. And I think that would the visor thing would be part of that discussion as well.
Okay, real quickly, we've got about a minute and a half. You got enough time to tell your
no,
CF,
I can't
CFL
tell.
Story?
I can't tell it in a minute and a half. Like, all I can tell you is that you know there was a lot of talk this week about a study that of football players' lifespans that suggested they only live to 55 on average and as little as 51. The truth is there's no science there, that this has all kind of been spun out of a story written by a doctor in a publication you've never heard of where he allegedly had a conversation with an insurance guy. That's not to minimize the danger of football, but it's become kind of an urban legend. You know, it's one of those things that circulates and people say it like it's true. There isn't any such thing. There is no such study.
I mean, and it could be true, but there is no there's no
it could be true for and it could be true for a whole bunch of reasons right. that have to do with playing football or lifestyle or the size of the guys or
yep.
any numbers, a lot of variables in life anytime you're talking about lifespan. But that particular thing, which caused Doug Brown to write a column in the Winnipeg Free Press this week talking about his own mortality, is not true.
There were a few frenzied responses to that.
There sure were.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Stu Laird, the president of the CFL Players Association, was the one who raised the topic recently.
He distributed it. He founded this. He found a story on the internet, which is, I got to say, that's a dangerous business, right?
You got to do more homework than
it's
that.
It's all truth yeah. on there, isn't it?
But
he could have called somebody.
But he is not alone in kind of taking that
Jumping
those numbers and going there. That's it's been done by a lot of people.
Well, fortunately, it seems that that story is inaccurate. And that football players actually do live longer than age 55, and we're pleased about that. That will do it for us. Have yourselves a swell weekend. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For Stephen Brunt, Damian Cox, Ian Leggett, I'm Bob McCown. See you Monday on Primetime.